Hey everyone, my name is Peggy Ployer and I'm the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. We are an organization that helps parents to homeschool children with special educational needs. And today, or at least this talk, I am going to be talking about biblical encouragement for the special needs parent. And I just encourage you to stick with me if you think you don't need this or not. I oftentimes even convince myself that I got this down, and then I go back through this talk and it encourages me every single time. So hang in there and just keep coming along with me. And I promise I will be entertaining and share some stories, and this will not be boring. So, but I need to switch back and forth with my slides so that I can keep going. So this is my family. My family, if you look to the corner in front of the Roman Colosseum, we took a trip to Italy years ago, and it seems like years ago, probably was only a couple, but those are my kids and my husband. So my oldest, Thomas, is 23, my middle son, Timothy, is 21, and my daughter is almost 16. It's amazing. Just our homeschooling journey and where we started. I always said that homeschooling was something I would never do, and I just couldn't wait till my kids could go to school. And God had different plans for our lives. And so, but our journey into homeschooling started when my oldest was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And back then, there was only two books that even existed on autism. That's how long ago it was. And so, anyways, and all these other pictures, these are my siblings. I actually have 10 adopted siblings, all with special educational needs. And when my parents saw my homeschooling success with my own children, they said, we want to do that too. And guess what? As I am wrapping up my homeschooling years, I only have one left. I've graduated two. My parents are still homeschooling. They have three teenagers in their house, and they are still doing the special education homeschooling in their house. And my dad calls me often for curriculum advice. So this is a family thing. But this is why I want you to be encouraged, though. Oftentimes when we come to conferences, and usually I give this conference in person, but even when you come to an online conference, a lot of times these conferences are how to get your child back to the normal range, or caught up, or get them reading by the age of three, have them graduate by age 14. And I was saying, I just want my child to read, and he didn't even read. My first one didn't even read till he was 12. It was just very defeating. This is not what this hour will be. It will not be defeating, I promise you. So let's hang in there. What I want it to be today is that to give you a better perspective as you look onto the year ahead and say, yes, this is why we're doing this. This is what God has us doing. And this is how He will lead us, even though we feel completely unequipped, because we are. That's what it is. So, my first question to you is, what defines a need, a special need? When we homeschool, we often, people will approach me and say, well, kind of what do you cover? I say, well, everything. And as you'll see in this talk, it includes us as parents, and we even things that we don't even often call a special need, because there is a different perspective we need to be looking at. So in all these pictures, I want you to get you thinking outside the box. Is the person who planned to commit suicide one of these people? Do they have a special need? Or maybe it's the person who has really severe dry skin. Or maybe it's the person who missed a developmental step in their growing up, never learned to crawl. Or maybe it was that person who struggled to speak and had to go to speech pathology and work with a speech pathologist. Or was it actually the person with the diagnoses? Wow. Just take a step back and think about that, because that is the better perspective that we need to be talking about. So, what do I mean about this? Well, if we talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor, they will say a special need is defined by anybody who has the inability to function normally in regular circumstances in life. So that person who struggled with depression has a special need. That's one perspective. Well, what about a doctor? Doctors say that somebody who is not able to function, their body can't function normally, their physical body, their bones, their muscles, their organs, their skin, their blood, so that person that had a skin condition has a special need. Okay, moving on. Well, let me see if I can, oops, I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry, I'm gonna do two slides here. But as far as learning goes, teachers, learning professionals will all say that someone who can't demonstrate that they are learning at a normal rate is someone who has a special need. So that child that struggled with speech problems when they were really young has a special need. And then we go on to the developmental part. The pediatricians who say, well, if that child doesn't take those normal steps to get to the next step, then that child that didn't learn to crawl but just started walking or rolling first and then walking has a special need. Okay, well, I'm gonna see if I can get to my next slide here. There we go. And then there's the sociologists and the social workers who say someone who lives outside the boundaries of what society calls normal, or maybe grew up in that, like my adopted siblings, who came from really scary places, a lot of them, and before my parents adopted them. And they would say those children have extreme special needs. But what God's view of a special need is completely different. He said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. From God's perspective, this needs to be so encouraging to us, because when we look at His word, compared to differing views of people and people groups and those that say they know everything, but the God who created everything says this, my truth doesn't change. His encouragement, it always overshadows the authorities in our lives. And so God is our great filter. And it quenches our thirst, His word does, and it feeds our souls, because it aligns our thinking in the right place finally. So we can always turn to Him and realize that we all have a need. And that need doesn't change. And no matter what the world says our needs are, we can speak truth into what truly a need is. So how do we take that into context? Well, instead God says, I am the constant, I am the normal, for I am the Lord, I do not change, Malachi 3:6a, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we see in Hebrews. Yes, we change as a society. We're in constant flux, our technology is increasing, but in the midst of all of that, God remains the same, and He never grows old, and He never grows outdated. He is timeless. His commands endure from generation to generation, and that's what I'm going to give you a real good twist on, because oftentimes we can say, oh, that's just old stuff that was applied long ago, it doesn't pertain to us. But if we look at it in the right context, and we read it, and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts about what the truth is in it, we will always get something applicable to what is today. And it helps us not only to have encouragement for ourselves, but in looking at our children and our own circumstances and what we call difficulties, and instead see it as God does. So let's get started. God's command for parents. I'm going to talk about two main commandments, and this may seem like really defeating. Therefore, you and your children should be perfect. Ooh, isn't that encouraging? Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, So how do we deal with this? Well, first of all, I want to tell you this is a very encouraging scripture verse if you understand what exactly it's saying and not interpret it from your own point of view. Again, it's really easy to look at it from a human perspective and our authorities that we allow to speak in our life to say what is perfect. But that is not exactly the way we should look at it. So how do we do it instead? Oops. I just did that, didn't I? Oh no! Let me see if I can get my screen sharing back. And then I just lost it. Okay, here we go. The only problem is I skipped one ahead, and I don't know how to go back on this. Anyways, so I'm going to tell you what it's the same scripture verse, so that's good. Therefore, you and your children shall be perfect. It's the therefore. For my precept training, I am a trained precept Bible study leader, and one of the first lessons I remember being taught was the word therefore means you're only getting the end. You got to go back to see what this verse is actually talking about. And we look at that therefore, then we understand more. So what is that therefore? Therefore. I won't try to say that too many times. The therefore is all of Matthew 5 that happened. And that is actually the Sermon on the Mount. And that comes before what our idea of perfect is. And it gives us a really good summary of what God is telling us that we need and our children need in order to be perfect. And let me tell you, it's way different than what the goals are on our academic schedules and homeschool lists are. And I hope it helps you to see how we should reframe this. You know, every time I see this list, I am totally convicted about what perfection is and am I striving in the right way. To be salt and light in a dulled world, to be pure in heart, to see evil, to be poor in spirit, to be peacemakers, to love people despite how they treat you, to give all your anger to God, to be merciful, to be able to find joy in the midst of persecution, to be able to mourn, and to be true to God's word, and to be sexually pure and have godly marriages. That is perfection. I don't know how many goals you have for your child that fit in those molds, but oftentimes we focus so much on reading and writing and math, these get pushed out. But God is saying, this is where perfection is, and this is also where you lack. So, but, you know, really, this is the best way to look at it. To God, having a special need means lacking in any of these areas, making us less than perfect in His eyes. And God gives us each gifts and challenges, ourselves as well as our children, by His divine measure. We don't get to pick it, and we just have to learn to grow closer to Him through it. And as we look up to God and keep this perspective, then we can dismiss a lot of the finicky things that we tend to focus a lot of our time on that really take our eyes off of what we should be focusing on. So, our needs don't make anyone less accountable, though. And this is a really good thing to keep in perspective. So, my son Thomas, when he was my oldest, said to me at one point, because we spent the majority of our very early homeschooling years working on discipline because it was needed. And nothing else was going to be taught if discipline and parental authority and understanding that God was above all of us wasn't working. And so he said, but it's so hard for me, Mom, because on the autism spectrum, he had sensory issues, he had anger issues. There was just so many things going on in him. And, you know, he wanted to go to that worldly perspective, but I have an excuse, so shouldn't I be able to do this? And I said, no. Unfortunately, God's law is for everyone. It's the same playing field. We all have disadvantages and we all have advantages. But it doesn't mean that we can say, I have an out. So that's, it's hard when our kids struggle. But yet, there's places that we often find our kids who struggle have a special gifting too. And we need to point that out to them as well. But by contrast, guess what? Here too, I sometimes want to say, but God, this is where I always struggle. And God says, I forgive you again. Let's try this one more time and see if you can learn a little more. So what we need to learn is that through the tough times, we need to focus on how we need to improve, how our children need to improve. It's a journey. It's learning is a journey. It's not something that you just conquer and then we move on to the next thing. It's not like you get a math fact and then you you can do a math perfectly. But let's look at this perspective. Philippians 3, 12 and 14 says this. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we focus on God. We look to Jesus and we remember that His Spirit is with us, helping us, our children, and us to uphold those standards that God says are perfect. And we do it one lesson at a time. So I want to share a story with you. So when my oldest was very young, God laid on our hearts, he was right before he was kind of entering the junior high age. God laid on our hearts that we need to move. Now, for a child on the autism spectrum, moving is a difficult thing. He had just, the previous year, he had worked on redoing his whole room. He set it up so he had this whole space for just his Legos. He had learned how to do drywall repair and painting and all these things. And then to say, we need to move. Well, the thing was, it wasn't my husband and I's idea to move either. We had been in this house for 10 years, longer than most of the places we've lived, and God stirred our hearts and said, it's time to go. And we thought, okay, well, God's saying, let's go. And my son got so angry with this that he just came to me and he said, I am not moving. And I said, well, fine. Then, what I challenge you to do is to ask God yourself if He's asking us to move. And if you come back to me and God has clearly told you, nope, I'm not telling your parents to move, they're just making this up on their own, then we'll talk about it and I will really reconsider that move. And so he kept this to heart, didn't say anything to my husband or I, and a couple days later, he prayed that morning, God, today is the day you are to tell me if we are to move or not. Didn't say anything to any family member. And the whole day went by. He was watching. He was waiting. You know, we had talked enough about how to listen to God speak and how the Holy Spirit works in your heart. And the end of the day came around. Again, he had said nothing to anybody. And their normal practice for him and my other son was to put in an audio tape of Mr. Henry's Wild and Wacky Bible Stories and listen to that while she was trying to go to sleep. And so they would sit at the end of her bed while she was all tucked in. She's 5 years younger than the middle one, so 7 years younger than my oldest. And so they would do that as we had our evening bedtime ritual. And my son picked out tape. It was already dark in the room. Put it in the tape player and turned it on. And guess what? It was about Abraham. And when the tape said, Abraham, get out of this land, my son just rose up from the bed and screamed, no! He knew exactly that God was speaking to him, that He had called us to move. And you know what? I never had any issue with my son after that encounter, because he knew it was God moving and not us as parents moving him. Sorry, I get emotional every time I share that story. But, you know, the Holy Spirit works in us as our children. We all have sinful natures, and it's easy for us to say, I've got this. And I need to tell you to do this, but challenge your child's faith. Let them borrow a little of your faith, is often what I call it, and show them that God will speak equally to them as well as you, and it saves some of the workload of parenting as well. But it's hard. It's hard because we want to say, you've got this wrong, I've got this right. It's again that log in my eye, the speck in yours. To be able to take that away when we are dealing with our children, and also what the world is saying should be the log that our child's dealing with, that really, based on where God's calling our child, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, is it really an issue at all? So Anyways, but God is always on our side. And that's the thing that I want you to know, is that if you're listening to Him and your children are listening to Him, there's a lot that comes about that you don't even have to work at. But God's second command for parents is train up a child in the way it should go. Now, I'm not done with the first one, but this one sandwiches and fits in the middle here to help us define a lot more about that first command, about being perfect. So I promise I'll get back to that. We are not sidetracking. So, but Proverbs 22a says, train up a child in the way it should go. We're going to dive into that a bit because, again, as my precept training, I love going into the Greek and Hebrew when I study my do my Bible studies, and I even have a whole YouTube channel that's called Daily Revelations. It's just mine, and I do every weekday a video just sharing from my own personal Bible study and what God's sharing with me. So, sidetrack. But train up is actually a Hebrew word called shanak. And that means to dedicate, to set aside for a special purpose. Not for the norm, but for who God made your child to be. And the way, Derek, means a mode of action or course, specifically dealing with customs, manners, and respecting those alongside. So God is telling us to train up your child in the way. That means within the context of the community that they're going to be in, the habits they need to develop, and the daily walk they need to have. Never read that in that perspective till you see what that means. And then this word go is the Hebrew word pay, which means to be blown by the force of a mouth and according to an appointment or direction. And so if we allow authorities to say what that path is, we don't do this. But if we allow God to set that path, then we don't detour to godly or to worldly thinking that we need to figure out what social skills and things don't fit in with the checklist that somebody gave us, if that's not what God is saying is important. Now, that doesn't mean that we throw out all those things either. God uses those things, but sometimes we revert to those things first before we go to God. And there's where we can get so stuck in the mud of saying, I've got to fix this child, versus I've got to discover what God wants out of this child. And so that's the truth that we need to rest in. So in summary, God does not ask you to determine the path your child's going to take. You are only commanded to dedicate your child towards His path and help your child learn how to navigate God's word in the world and the culture that they live in and apply His commands and callings to their life as they learn to walk with Him on their own. Again, it's that borrowed faith, like I talked about with that example with my son, to challenge them. To say, is this what God is speaking? And this is how God speaks in my life. Can you try that? Let's see what God says to you. For that same child, when we first started homeschooling, the reason we started homeschooling, and I didn't send him from his private school to his public school, because he was dealing with so much depression that he was ready to kill himself at age 5. And I asked him one day, I said, Thomas, what does that feel like? And he said, Mom, it's like God is a bird and I'm an egg that He's laid, and a snake has come and swallowed me up. And back then I thought, there is no hope. I don't even know what path God has for this child. And here now, last month, in May of 2020, he graduated from college with a degree in biomedical engineering. I knew from the beginning what that path was, but I did not. I just kept going step by step by step, following what God put in front of us to get him closer to this path that he saw that I could not. Those years have been good. They've been difficult. And he's going through a new struggle. I've got to be real with you. My kids aren't perfect. We've had some issues with churches we've been in and elders that have driven my children away from a godly community. And both my boys struggle with that. They still haven't been back to church since they were basically publicly just chastised for being who they were and not fitting the mold of this church that we had been at only for a year and a half. So you just have to trust. And does that mean that I've failed as a parent? And does that mean that you have failed as a parent? Oops, I'm sorry, I missed a, I wasn't supposed to click to the next slide. But anyways, no, it does not. The path that God set before them, He knows. And again, once again, He knows that this struggle is going to turn out for my boy's good. And Edith Schaefer, I love what she says. And she says, God has in heaven this hallway, this incredible museum that we are going to be able to walk through. Because not only has heaven been conquered by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. And it says that in Revelation. And what we will be able to see is every time that we saw a doubt or a fear, and we yet didn't give in to that, we trusted in God and said, no, God has won over this as well. That we will see that that has overcome every single lie that Satan ever said on this world. And we will be able to prove that God, yes, He has overcome. And it was by the blood that Christ shed on the cross and our faith that we held firm through every single lie that was presented to us and our children. So I'm going to bring this all together now and sort out what's real. So God's focus for all of His children is perfection in Him. Remember? That was our first verse. So, and He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, weakness is relative. We can say from a worldly perspective, what is weak and what is strong? The problem is from God's perspective, that's a little messed up. The key is, and we can't forget this, that absolute strength comes in His Spirit. And He is the one who helps us realize where we need to turn, what we need to do, and what labels we need to stop using. For we all fall short of being perfected. Oh, amen to that. There's no difference. No difference in who you are. Whether you are somebody who has skills that can wow a crowd, or you are one of my siblings who's already passed away, who is so severely disabled that they were nonverbal, they were tube-fed, and yet God had a purpose for their lives. And I remember my mom even saying that, you know, after my first sibling passed away, she made the comment, but he brought God's love to so many people's lives. And that was His purpose. That's the perspective that we have to take. We all fall short, but with God, we don't fall short. And neither do any of our children. We all have access to the same Holy Spirit. Remember, this 12-year-old calling on God is the same as his mother. And yet God said the same thing to both of them. We can't question God and what the Spirit says. We are equally yoked with sin, but we are equally yoked with the Spirit when we are believers. And so therefore, we have nothing to boast. All we have is God. And Jesus is the only way for anyone to be perfected. And Jesus Himself is the propagation for our sins. And not only ours, but also for the whole world. What a glorious gift. If you thought about that lately, that's something we need to rejoice in every day. We need to rejoice in that in our homeschooling, and we need to rejoice in that as we look at all these difficulties and remember that word perfected. Go back to the Beatitudes. This is how we're being perfected. Not that we, our child can get all their times tables by the end of the year, or that they're going to learn how to read. The perfection is an eternal perfection. And the worldly skills, they'll happen as we work on them in God's timing. And now he reveals that we should be teaching our children. And there we are all unfit as parents in our calling without Jesus. For Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Isn't that the truth? Because so many times we can do so much of what we say we've got done. And in the light of things, it's all on shifting sand and it can go away. And it wasn't really a good use of our time or our child's time. So no matter if you have students who require a little instruction for their schooling studies, or you're not even sure if they're ever going to get beyond the comprehension of a kindergartner, we can do nothing of worth if we don't let God lead. But in dedicating our children to the Lord and being purposeful in our teaching, God provides each of our children a unique path on which to find him, as well as to live closer to his version of perfection. You know, God created your child. He did not make a mistake. And he wants you to dedicate their life to him. Your training and just what they experience in your home and how you lead them. And as you guide them, as you allow them to borrow your faith, I want you to remember that word. Let your child borrow your faith. Let them see you living it out. And let them then take the opportunities to practice it and ask you questions about it. And it'll prepare them in the future for being able to do it on their own. So how do we go about living this way each day? You know, one of our past team members said, there's no manual, however, but by God's grace, we're given the wisdom we need to parent our children. And that is a day-by-day process, let me tell you. And you probably already know that. So, how do we go about that? Well, we live it up this way. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. First of all, we need to realize that as parents of special needs children, we actually have a special gift. And our gift is that more than the parents of normal children, we have a perspective. We're not as deceived that there are things that are awry. And that's the truth. And I've always been thankful for that as I look at my children, that I've been given an extra advantage, because the world can say my child has an issue, but I can say, well, so does yours, but you just don't see it sometimes, because the world says what your child is doing is acceptable, but what God says is both of our children fall short, as well as us as parents. So Matthew 7:7-8 says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks will find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Yeah, we ask God the tough questions. Who, what, when, where, why? I can't tell you how many years I started out with not all the curriculum I needed for my children because God hadn't answered those questions. And I wasn't about to just stuff something in to make it fill our schedule. And yet, I was seeking. I was keeping my eyes open. It doesn't mean that I was spending every night up until in the wee hours trying to find what would fit. But I was asking and watching and saying, God, who, how, why, what are you doing and how will you reveal this to me? And we knock. We open doors of opportunity. Not always do we or our children walk through those doors, but as God leads, we do. And that's just the way it goes. I know one year I had no idea what I was going to teach my son for science, and he was in fifth grade. He was just barely learning to read, and it was like small sight words. And we did mechanical engineering that year because that was his gifting. And God just put in front of me a package that worked for someone who didn't know how to read, and it worked out, and it ended up being the best thing ever. Had I just said, well, we'll just stick a science in there and we'll just kind of press and push through this, it wouldn't have had the same effect. It wouldn't have prepared my child for the way that he should go. So rest in that. Don't try to fill space. I always learn that even working in a nonprofit. And we have lots of spaces open on our team, but if God doesn't send that person to me, then that space is okay to be empty, because eventually he will. So I'm going to share another story. It's really tough, because as your kids get older, their problems get bigger. And my middle son kind of fell off the deep end. We thought maybe he was even going to commit suicide. We had struggled through depression with both of our boys, and I thought we had really figured this out, yet things just were not going well. We thought he was going to run away, and I was on my knees praying and crying out to God, what is going on? And during that time, God changed my prayers from what is wrong with him to what is wrong with me. And as God did that in my heart, I spent a moment in the kitchen with this young man as he was making his cup of coffee, and saw just how hunched over and bent up he was. And I said, does your back hurt? And that was the beginning of God healing what was going on in his life. Yes, his back did hurt. He actually was diagnosed with something close to scoliosis. It's called Sherman's disease that causes hunchback. And he was in excruciating pain, and the pain was driving him to do what he was doing, yet he had no idea why he was doing what he was doing. He just was trying to deal with the pain and didn't even realize it was there. He thought it was pain in his heart, but it was pain in his back. And once we started getting treatment for that, our relationship has grown so close that God took something that I thought was going to destroy this child and our relationship, and without giving in or giving up and just asking and seeking and knocking, God revealed exactly what we needed to know and where we needed to go to work that out for good. So don't give up. Jesus tells us, most assuredly I say to you, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now until now, you've asked nothing in my name. And you may be in that place. You may have been striving all on your own. That's a tough place to be. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be full. You know, these stories that I share with you are hard. They put me in hard places, and I've just been in the hardest place of my life yet. I just got through a battle with cancer. But I kept asking and seeking and knocking. I'm still asking questions and trying to figure out some things with that. But God filled that time with joy, even during COVID. So I leave you with this. Don't forget to ask. And he will give you exactly what you need. And the results will bring joy. Okay. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Sped Homeschool as we wrap up. So, Sped Homeschool was actually started in 2017. I'm the founder and CEO, but before that, I actually worked for two different state organizations, both Mache in Minnesota, as well as the Texas Homeschool Coalition in Texas, and started both their special needs departments. And God just was really moving my heart that we needed to create a nonprofit and bring all of these people together that do all these little things, the bloggers, the therapists, the consultants, the curriculum developers, all in one place as a nonprofit, and to vet these organizations, to show you the best of the best without them having to pay me or our organization, but out of a true understanding of what types of things parents look for. And I have to tell you, I'm not biased. There are things that work for me that don't work for other people. And there are things that work for other people that would never have worked for my children. But they are still curriculums that have worked for children who struggle. And so those are the things, those are the types of resources that we offer. So we have a weekly, I'm on live weekly on Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 Central. I have a special guest, some kind of expert, and we have different themes every month. And you can interact with those guests. It's live, it's free, it's like an ongoing conference that never stops. And so so then you can find our weekly or quick guides based on those months of whatever we created during that month, where there was our broadcasts, our podcasts, and our the articles that we have new. We have checklists for new to homeschooling, high school, how to write an IEP, including a template. We have a video library, a podcast library, an article library that has hundreds of different things you can search. We provide support. We have what are called our Sped Strong tribes that are on a platform that follows HIPAA compliance standards. So you can actually share without thinking that Facebook is looking at what you're saying and may flag what you have to say because you're talking about your child's diagnosis or maybe not using different types of shots or anything else. Anyways, we have Mom's Night Out every Tuesday night. We have a chat room just for you, and I'm on there, and my team gets on there, and we are just real. There's no agenda. Bring what you want to talk about. We'll talk about it. And then we have our Facebook groups. We have a resource sharing group that's public. We have a support group on there as well, and a buy and sell and trade group. So anyways, but we have our website is just filled. It's got a lot of fun summer stuff too, that especially for people who are just kind of diving into homeschooling for the fall and have never thought about it before. We've got lots of really quick things to try out, and so we've kind of rebranded some of our things for that as well. So that's you can just find us at spedhomeschool.com and find those resources there. But as I leave you, I just want to share this this quote from Cheryl Swoop. She is the author of Simply Classical. She was on my board for a while due to health reasons, stepped off, but I still have an awesome board. So Steve Demme from Matthew C, Diane Kraft, Jan Bedell, Faith Behrens from HSLDA, and Kathy Cool from Learn Differently are on my board right now. They are my mentors, and how awesome is that? But Cheryl says this, so even today, as we teach and raise and know our children, we remember and know and trust in this truth. All is His. And I hope you get that that is the summary of really what I shared here today. And that you move forward and remember, it's all His. Your child is His. He is just asking you to walk alongside them and show them the way that He is showing you and them at the same time. So be encouraged. Thanks for joining me on this talk. I hope I didn't put you to sleep, but just hope that this brought you as much encouragement as it did to me, always does, as I give it over and over. So thanks for joining me. And again, visit us at spedhomeschool.com. Bye, everyone.